I want to talk about my personal experiences with angels. Now, when it comes to belief in angels, there are three monotheistic religions that believe in angels. Monotheistic actually means that the religion believes there is only one God, and that's Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And they believe that angels exist. All three of those religions do. In America, about 77% of adults, that's nearly 8 in 10 Americans, believe in the existence of angels. Christians, just among Christians, and this is odd to say this among Christians, and I should say some of these are professing Christians. They may never go to church, but they profess Christianity. But 4 in 10 believe that angels exist. And women tend to believe that angels exist more than men do. Now, when it comes to angels, angels were created before Adam was created. Now, you can read about that in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. God was talking about creation. And he said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth and put in the cornerstone thereof, and when the sons of God sang together and the morning stars shouted for joy?" So at creation, when God was laying the foundation of the earth, he tells us, and he told Job, the sons of God sang together and morning stars shouted for joy. Now, in that sense of the word, and this can be proven by Scripture, there are two groups of angels. Now, there are different types of angels, but two different groups. Sons of God, which is mentioned 4 times in the Old Testament, and it's B'nai Elohim, which are angels, especially when you read Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, where the sons of God came to present themselves before the throne of God. Those were not humans. Those were angelic beings. And then you have morning stars. Now, Lucifer, if you look at what the Scripture teaches about him, and you can go to the book of Ezekiel, Isaiah chapter 14, he was called the anointed cherub. However, he is also called son of the morning. So he was in the category of the angels called the morning stars. So there are B'nai Elohim, sons of God, and there are morning stars, two groups of heavenly angels that were present when God created the heavens and the earth in Job chapter 38, 4 through 7. And of course, as I said a moment ago, angels were created by the Lord before Adam was created. Now, when we come into the Bible, we see various appearances of angels. In fact, all 66 books of our Bible, in many, many of the books themselves, have reference at some point or another to angels. Not every book, but many of them. In fact, let me just say it this way. Angel is mentioned 201 times in the Bible in the singular term. An angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Then the word angels, plural, meaning more than one, is mentioned 94 times. Now, when the Bible identifies a single angel, it often comes in the Bible in the form of a man. Michael, the archangel, was addressed as an angel of God, the archangel. Gabriel, the man Gabriel, as it's mentioned in the book of Daniel, is mentioned in the singular. But a host of angels called the heavenly host appeared at the shepherds of Bethlehem. And of course, there are many references to the angels of God in the Scripture. Now, the very first reference, I love to talk about the law of first reference. Now, the law of first reference, Hagar, who was one of the wives of Abraham, Sarah was his legitimate wife. Hagar was a handmaiden of Sarah and became a wife of Abraham. But she experienced the first angelic visitation on biblical record in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7. And this is where that Hagar and Ishmael are removed from the family by the force of Sarah's influence, the wife of Abraham. And the angel appeared to Hagar in the desert and said to her that God is going to spare the child Ishmael, and he would, of course, have great nations come out of him. Now, this is interesting because Abraham is considered the first Hebrew, but Hagar is one of the mothers, a mother of the Arab nations. And so the angel of God, by biblical record now, called an angel, first appeared to the mother of the Arab nations. Now, if you're watching me, especially from the Middle East or maybe United States, and you're from Arab descent, God loved Ishmael and he saved him. and said he would produce 12 nations, and actually great kings would come out of him, and that's what happened. So that was the first visitation of an angel. Now, if you remember, or you've heard me teach this, the Torah, which are the five books of Moses, were not written by Moses until after the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage. So from the time of Adam to the time that Moses started writing the five books called the Torah, five first books of our Bible, is 2,500 years. And this was the reason there was a necessity for angels to appear throughout the Old Testament, because they would bring messages directly from God. As a matter of fact, even after the Torah was written, when the children of Israel possessed the Promised Land and took Canaan land, or the Promised Land, which is today known as Israel, we find out in the book of Judges, angels appeared continually to many of the judges, Samuel, to the kings of Israel, to the prophet Daniel, to Zechariah, to the apostle John. I mean, all through the Bible, angels are alluded to. What do angels do? And I'm going to get to my personal stories here in just a moment. Angels bring information, they bring revelation, they bring direction, they bring protection, and they also bring deliverance. Now, for just a moment, let me talk to you about this. There's several ways an angel can appear. First of all, an angel can appear in a dream. Matthew chapter 2 and 19, it says the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him to take his wife Mary and the young child Christ to Egypt for protection from Herod. They can appear in a vision. Daniel chapter 9, 21, the prophet Daniel, while in Babylon, saw the angel Gabriel, God's angel of revelation that brings revelations, appear to him in a vision. In fact, Gabriel is mentioned several times in the book of Daniel. And again, Daniel was in Babylon in captivity when Gabriel would appear to him in vision form. They can also, and this is interesting, this is a little bit of a mystery here, they can appear in human form. The Bible tells us that in the time of Lot, that God sent two angels, and they look like men. They look like human men, and they are called two strangers that were at the gate, but yet they're angels in Genesis chapter 18, that came in human form to warn Lot and his family to get out of the city of Sodom because destruction was imminent and soon coming. And then there's a fourth way angels appear, and that is through a voice. The Bible says in Genesis 22, when Abraham was attempting to offer his son Isaac, that the angel spoke to him, and I quote, "An angel called to him out of heaven," Genesis 22, 11. And then in chapter 22 and verse 15, the angel calls with a voice the second time. And, you know, we often think that all angels have wings, but they do not. We know that seraphims have wings, Isaiah chapter 6. We know that cherubim have wings, Ezekiel 16 and 9, Ezekiel chapter 10. We know that the living creatures, which are recorded in Revelation 4 and 8, also have wings. And we also know that some do not, because the Bible tells us that Gabriel looked like a man when he appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, 21. So sometimes in a dream, you may have a dream where it's an angel of God, but it doesn't necessarily have to have wings. Now, I know that when you die, you do not become an angel. Your spirit actually leaves your body. And even when children die, people say they become little angels, but their spirit actually goes to heaven, to an infant paradise. I asked my father one day, who had several visitations with angels, how do I know when the angel of the Lord is speaking to me in a dream? And, you know, he gave me several answers to that question. For example, he said to me, first of all, the angel will often appear in the form of a man. The angel in the dream will usually call you either son if you're a man, or daughter if you're a woman. Doesn't always call you by your name, but every time the Lord appeared to my dad through an angelic visitation, he would say, "Son, the Lord has said," or "Son, the Lord has told me to tell you." And it will happen to a female by the Lord saying "daughter." And also, there will be a very, very, very strong presence of God that will come when an angel appears in a dream or a vision. Of course, in a vision, you will know what it is. Now, I want to give you my personal experiences, and I'm very careful about this because these experiences to me are very, very, very sacred. I don't take them lightly. I take them very, very cautiously, and I seldom don't share them because the skeptics and the scoffers and the mockers have their negative things to say. But, you know, when you've had an experience with God, it sticks with you all of your life. When I was 18 years of age, I was preaching I was a young evangelist, I should say. And I was, we would attend every year in the summer month, usually around June, sometimes in July. What was the camp meeting at the Roanoke Church of God campground in Roanoke, Virginia. And we have some of the greatest memories that I still have of the young people on youth night and the wonderful pastors. And I'm going to cry if I'm not careful. that gave me a start in the ministry in the great state of Virginia. At age 18, I was fasting a lot, and I was fasting during the camp meeting, and I was on the prayer team, what they called working the altars. And that meant that when people would come to the altar for salvation or the infilling of the Spirit or they wanted prayer, you were one of the individuals that the state bishops appointed to pray with people. So that was a great honor at 18 years of age for the bishops to appoint me as one of the prayer people. I never will forget that in that old campground, there was a concrete wall at the front, and it was painted a lime green. And I happened to be standing up where I could see above the top of the wall, and in the left-hand corner of the tabernacle was a room where the ushers would go to do work, or they would count the offerings at night. And I looked up praying, and I literally saw a being, a shadow, that was tall, looked like it was about 6 to 6'4", and I'm only estimating here, I couldn't measure it. And there was a shadow outline of a person on the wall, and I thought, whoa, and I rubbed my eyes to look again, and it stepped out of the wall. And then when it stepped out of the wall, it was no longer a shadow that was tall. It began to take on dimensions, like three dimensions. It had height, it had width, and then it had a form. I could see the head forming, I could see the chest, I could see the arms begin to form, the round part of the arm began to form. And I looked, and as it started walking, it just took one step from the wall, and it became a person, it became a being. And I absolutely knew without a doubt, I was viewing an angel of the Lord. Now, he didn't come as some bright light blinding me, but he came walking through that wall. And I never will forget. Now, it wasn't demonic, even though it didn't have a light form. It was not demonic. It was a complete form. And I was so afraid, I fell down on my knees and I screamed, no, no, because I didn't really want to see it. I was afraid. And then I thought to myself, oh, that's an angel. What am I doing? And I slowly crept up to the wall again and looked over, and he was completely gone. I never will forget how aggravated I was. And I talked to my dad, and dad said, Perry, you should have just stood there in reverence of God, because he may have told you something or you would have seen a great manifestation. But when you said no, that was almost a form of doubt or unbelief or some kind of a fear. And he vanished from you. Doesn't mean he left the place, but you could no longer see him. It's the first time I ever had a manifestation like that. Now, at age 20, I was driving from Northport, Alabama to the state of Mississippi to preach a revival. And I had left about somewhere around 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and I was really asleep. I'd stayed up late that night at Northport working on some messages. And as I'm coming across from Northport, Alabama, into the state of Mississippi toward that direction on the interstate, I literally fell asleep. I can't even tell you how it happened. I knew I was tired, but I actually closed my eyes and fell asleep. And I was drifting, according to a person who, listen to this, many years later was driving beside me in a truck that happened to know me, who came to my camp meeting and told me this. Now, I want to tell you the rest of the story, because I never knew this for years. I felt a hand hit me, slap me from right here on the shoulder, and it's like a hand got on my shoulder and pushed me, and it woke me up, and I literally was headed toward the corner of a bridge. If I would have hit it with the cruise control on, there's no doubt it would have killed me. I'm very sure I would have been killed. And when the hand woke me up, I jerked the car, and I do remember there's a truck beside me. There's people in the truck, and they're looking at me like this. And then I of course they saw my face, and I went on. Many years later, several years ago. Now this was in the 1980s. I'm going to say 81, right in there. I'd have to go back and see how old I was when I was 20. Maybe it was before I was married to Pam. So anyway, I'd been about 81, and I remember meeting this man that said to me, "You probably don't know us, but you were on a road." And he named the interstate that goes into Mississippi many years ago as a young man. You were in a car. And he said, we were coming beside you, and you had kind of swerved over on the side, and we looked at you and drove up, you know, because you looked like you were about to have an accident. And all of a sudden, there was a man in the seat and he hit you in the back like that and you woke up. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. You saw a man in the seat. He said, yeah, I saw a man in the seat. And then you leaned forward and you had the steering wheel and you looked over this way. And I thought you were looking at him, but we saw your face and we knew that's the preacher, young preacher, Perry Stone. And he said, we never told you about this. And I believe that happened. I do know that that was a literal hand. So I believe God sent an angel to come into that car to literally wake me up. Now, why this man saw it and I didn't, I don't know. Probably if I would have seen a man sitting beside me, I'd have really wrecked the car. But that absolutely was God's protection. Now, the other story that is absolutely very, very real to me is how that in Summerton, Alabama, I was preaching for Steve Brock. Pam and I were in a revival there that lasted 3 weeks at the Summerton Church of God. This is, again, right after Pam and I were married. And she's my wife, if you don't know, is from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So we did a lot of very early extended revivals, 2, 3, 4 weeks in Alabama many years ago. And so Steve had put us in the basement of what's called the parsonage. And the parsonage is simply a term for the home that the pastor lives in. And I never forget it. I love that basement because when you shut the door, there were no windows and it was completely dark and you could sleep without sunlight coming in your eyes. Well, I had been preaching for many weeks and I literally lay in the bed so exhausted. And the meeting was continuing that I knew there's no way I could continue on. I said, God, I can't continue on. And I was crying. Pam was asleep. And I'm lying there in the bed. I look up. And this is how it happened. And I saw a set of eyes in the ceiling. And I'm thinking, whoa. And they're looking at me. It's just no form, just eyes. And I really began to weep at that point. And all of a sudden, a strength came in my body. I cannot explain it. A supernatural strength. And when I got up the next morning, I had strength like I had rested for 3 weeks. And I maintained that the entire meeting. And I do know that when the angel appeared to Daniel in the book of Daniel and touched him, he strengthened him. Now, I want to tell you one more story, and I'm going to be careful because this is very sacred to me and the people that are connected to my ministry who are partners and the people at Omega Center International. And some of the folks who traveled with me for many years are very aware of this happening. And I won't name the people that traveled with me, but they could verify this. About 5 times in my ministry, I have been standing at the pulpit ministering or getting ready to minister. Suddenly, the atmosphere that quick shifts. And when it does, there is a divine presence of God. And it has to be an angelic presence. It can't be nothing else because the Holy Spirit's inside of me. When you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel him from the inside out. This is from the outside in. And he always appears on the right side. And according to Luke chapter 1:11, the angel of God appeared on the right side of the altar because the right side is reserved for God. And the right side is the favor of God and the right hand of God. And I don't want to get into all that, but that's why it's the right side, in my opinion. And he will speak, and it's not audible, but he will speak in my right ear. I can hear in the spirit. I can't explain this. There's no way for me to try. It would take me too long to even try to explain it. And I will receive a very, very powerful prophetic word. Now, I was in Huntington, West Virginia. Everybody will remember this, I know. And I'm advertising our product. And all of a sudden, it shifted that quick. And I said, whoa, just a minute, folks. And when I did, everybody felt it. A holiness of God came in that building. That presence was on my right side. And when it happens, I'm stunned. I can't do anything but just stop. Just stop. And a prophetic word came, and I actually called one of our secretaries to bring me this word, and I didn't get it to him before I taped, but the word was a prophecy where the Lord said there was coming something, and this is 2015, there's coming something in the future that the world will not discern what it is, but the saints will understand, and it will be a great sign of the time of the end. It would affect the nation totally. People would begin to be afraid of living in cities. They would move from the cities into rural areas. And there would come what would be known as the rural revival. Now, this was in the state of West Virginia where this was spoken, right? And it went into detail. And there's no doubt, we look back on it later, it was a prophecy about COVID coming. And if you know anything, many, many people have left cities. I mean, the West Coast, people are coming over here. If they're going to the Midwest, they're going to the East Coast. We have a lot of people in Cleveland that have come from California, Oregon, Washington State, here just in Cleveland. A lot of them are coming to Tennessee, but they're moving from the cities to the more small, the rural towns, rural areas, not necessarily country, but rural areas, because of the protection and the safety and the faith in God and so many of the things that's more predominant outside of cities. And so my point is that this prophecy came, and when it happened, I was at Mullins, West Virginia, and a young man named Nick Walker, who was an evangelist, God gave me prophetic word that he would be the voice of the mountains. And Nick started traveling in the state of West Virginia mostly and having revivals that went 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 10 weeks, 11 weeks in length, and actually went to the same church in Huntington, West Virginia, and had, I think it was a 10-week revival in Huntington, West Virginia, where the prophecy was spoken. And so my point is that angels can come in a dream, they can come in a vision, or they can actually bring an inspiration voice into your spirit by speaking to you. And these stories are absolutely true, and I hope that you've enjoyed hearing them. And we're going to do, again, a series on angels for several weeks, things you have not heard that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. Please don't miss it. Now, I want to offer you something very, very special. Do not avoid what's about to come up. I think this is the most significant revelation, and I'm just saying this, that the Lord has given me in many, many years to present to the body of Christ and to believers. This is going to light a fire under you and open up the eyes of your understanding. So pay attention, and I'll be right back again with some updates.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Well, greetings everyone. Thank you for joining me today. And I cannot say enough about the new book and the audio CD teaching. This is all new. It is not a reprint of old material. It is not taking old stuff and rehashing it. I don't like to do that. I want to keep up with the now word. And this will probably be one of my favorite offers that I've offered in about 3 years. So please take the time, get the book. Let me tell you why it's important, because your income from purchasing items through the ministry is what keeps Manifest on the air and keeps all the ministry running worldwide, reaching millions and millions of people. So I wanted to let you know that. And also, partners, thank you. We got a lot of new partners joining us. We have our special partners webpage. We have monthly updates with videos with partners and so many other things that you can contact our office and get the material for that. We're so happy to tell you some of the places we're going to be coming to. We're going to be coming to Family Christian Center in Munster, Indiana with Steve Muncy, May the 17th. It's on a Wednesday. We're going to be coming. Also, let me just mention this, that we tape these way in advance. In other words, by the time you watch this, it's very possible that there have been some other churches and places added to the itinerary. So you can go to peristone.org, look up itinerary, and it will show you any updates that we're going to have. By the way, on June 17th, I haven't mentioned this, we're having an OCI anniversary homecoming, Omega Center International Homecoming. So if you've, used to attend and maybe you've moved away, you can come back on Saturday the 17th. We're going to have a big dinner on the dinner. It's so much fun. Got people coming back to join us. Going to show you the vision, old pictures, old videos. You'll have a lot of fun with that. And don't forget, I've been talking about coming to the Bahamas on June 22nd, preaching several churches at the Church of God, Coopertown, Abaco, Bahama. And this is on our website. And then on the 27th and 28th, which is Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to preach at the Assemblies of God Council there in Freeport, Bahamas. Then the Crow Nation, the camp meeting, the Crow Nation's annual camp meeting in Montana. That'll be July 7th, 8th, and 9th. There are some godly, spirit-filled people in the Crow Nation. It is incredible. So we're excited about that. And then Bob Rogers, Evangel World Prayer Center, that's our big main convention that we have in Louisville, Kentucky at the World Prayer Center, July 20th, Thursday through Sunday, all the way through the 23rd of July. And then you can go to peristone.org and get the rest of the information. Don't forget our Tuesday night services under the direction of Dr. Cutshaw every Tuesday night at Omega Center International, and our prayer on Thursday live on the website. God bless you. We'll see you later.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries, including worldwide evangelism, feeding the underprivileged, the Manifest Telecast, creating books and media, prison ministry, and more. As a Partner Strike Force member, you'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, partners-only tours in Israel, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.